Okay. So I was here last month. How many of you remember? Well, that's a relief. Oh, good. I've been invited to come at irregular intervals to really guide us through on the prophetic. But I'm laying a foundation last time, and I'm reinforcing it this time, that hearing God is all about relationship with Him. And if I can just pick up on the theme of children, I may have said this last time, but Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way in which they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." Now, generally, in my background, whenever people have talked on that verse, it has been in the context of discipline. That may be true, but training up a child in the reality of God is way bigger. And imparting to your children that God is alive and right here is a big deal. Teaching them, training them, encouraging them to hear God is part of training up a child in the way in which they should go, and they will not depart when they're older. Children praying is powerful, and they don't forget it. God lays in them a foundation that God is real and He listens when I pray. That is a big deal. And that is very much the fullness of that verse, not just discipline. Discipline fits into this. So the immediacy, the presence, the reality of God at home is crucial. The immediacy, the reality, the presence of God here is crucial. So what I'm doing is laying a foundation which says, hearing God and then being authorized to speak on His behalf, which is what prophecy is all about relationship. And that's the foundation. That if we get that, it's entirely up to God what He says. Once you've learned to listen, it's entirely up to Him what He says. So, Calvary Chapel is part of the Salt and Light family of churches, which is a family of churches all over the world now. And 30 years ago, we were really hungry for God. And then God sovereignly spoke to us to move us out of the church where we were into a Baptist church 20 miles away. And it was the second oldest Baptist church in England. And God has powerfully moving there. And for those of you who have Mennonite roots, which I guess a lot of you are, you have your perspective of heritage of the Anabaptists and the journey that went on. Well, some of them came to the UK. And these people paid a price. And where they settled, they came up the River Thames to a rural area in boats and then settled so that the only access was by water. They settled in what was marshland and lived there away from other places. And that's why it was the second oldest Baptist church in the UK. And you can go there. It's a beautiful old building and it's great. But God had laid His hands on a fresh generation. And we became part of that. And out of that, this week, Barney Coombs, who's been the father figure for family of churches, which is Salt and Light, he was a Baptist minister in Basingstoke. And there was this move of the Spirit amongst Baptist churches, some of which received the move of the Spirit and others didn't. And others were people thrown out because they didn't fit and started. And that was the connection, the joining. So this week, Barney hands over the reins officially to Steve Thomas, who was the pastor of that Baptist church. So 30 years ago, we were in Steve's church, and he was a young guy in his late 20s. Who was his Baptist minister in a church which was so like this. It was full of young families, children, the people who were passionate for God. God was present and was real. And so it isn't, those of you who are Mennonite background, maybe you can resonate with, that's how God did it through Baptist churches in the UK. And that's part of the joining of Salt and Light. But being here this morning, it's like being taken back 30 years and yet further ahead. It's the same similar presence of God. The expectancy. Young leaders. With older people alongside. Children. But there was a presence and an expectancy in God. And a sense is, we don't really know where we're going, but we know we're with God. And 30 years down the road, they've planted churches all over the world. They've impacted nations all over. And I can just tell you stories out of people who were in that one church 30 years ago, who richly impacted nations all over the globe. And here you are, 30 years on, feeling similarly. You know, it'd be great to be alive in 30 years' time and celebrate what God's going to do through you in 30 years. But the key is relationship with Him. So, yeah. So last time I spoke, we were coping with a big crisis back at Gateway because we have a Christian school. It's 318 students, 40 staff on two campuses. And Peter Todd, who was the principal, had gone off on stress leave. And because I'm the chairman of the directors, and because of my background, I was the person responsible for leading us through and getting school started. And then I'm in school 4 days a week. Somebody said to me, what's it like having three full-time jobs? And I said, impossible. And so to reflect that it was impossible, last time I was here on the Sunday morning, I walked out of Andrew and Ruth's house and said, okay, Lord, I quit. I cannot possibly do all this. So, Lord, I give up, and all my involvement in the city of Winnipeg and all that I do there and all in the province and nationally and going to nations. Lord, I quit. I cannot handle all this. You know it's far beyond me, and I'm 62 in October. So I come here. I go in the prayer room. I sit down on the chair, and I look up. And do you know what it says on the wall in the prayer room? I do not quit. How many of you have ever sort of wanted for God to write it on the wall for you? And if you go down there, I read it again today. It says, I am a messenger. I do not quit. I laughed. I said, well, that was a fast answer, Lord. So, but you see, that's out of relationship. I can't quit. But the circumstances in which I'm living are far beyond my ability to cope with. And so I've really needed to live out of relationship with Him and find life in Him, whatever the circumstances. And I've been telling people that story because I'm going, okay, Lord, over to you. My life is so far out of control, it's wonderful. How many of you really want to be in control of your own life? Yeah, we have a good number of honest people. I understand. However, if you really want God, it's on His terms. But it's out of relationship with Him. My problem is, if I start telling stories, I might tell stories to the end and we may never get to the message. But there's something how many of you have children, young children, younger children? Okay. How many of you play with your kids before they go to bed? Dads. Very good. Yeah. Confession time. How many of you actually enjoy it? Yeah. So, for relaxation this year, I've been following the Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays. I've never followed baseball before. It's just, I enjoyed it. And I read the Americans' take that the Blue Jays were absolutely going to be one of the bottom three teams in the whole of baseball this year. So when they started off and they weren't, I sort of went, "Whoa, way to go, Lord." And so I followed them through. They've done far better than expected. They have no chance of making the playoffs. And they've hit so many home runs. So this week has been very busy. And we had house group this week on Thursday night. And in the midst of all this, our house group's been really growing as well. God has a sense of humor. He really does. So before house group, I feel the Lord say to me, the Blue Jays will hit six home runs. They're playing the Minnesota Twins. Just to give you some background, the Minnesota Twins are the divisional champions. They're playing in a ballpark, which is the third hardest ballpark to hit home runs. And their starting pitcher had only conceded six home runs the entire season. It's not impossible, but it was very, very remote. So I'm going, way to go. We finish house group. Because it's in Minneapolis, they're still playing. I turn on my computer. It's in the top of the ninth. And so far, the Blue Jays have hit five home runs all evening. I'm laughing. So their star batter is up in the ninth. And I'm going, I know what's going to happen next. He hit a home run. I'm laughing away. Why am I telling you this story? That's my dad playing with this kid. And that is a big message. This is a very important point. That's what our dad is like. Yes, he's God. Yes, he's the judge. Yes, he's the creator. Yes, he's all of that. And he's our father. And just as father will get enjoyment playing with your kids, he enjoys playing with you. And that was God playing with me. It was going to happen. I wasn't influencing the ball game. It's just God let me in beforehand what was going to happen. It was God playing with me. Can you understand that? When we talk about relationship, there is a dynamic which God wants. You see, God always, always, always has wanted to be known. God knew what Adam and Eve were going to do, but meeting with them in the cool of an evening was what he wanted, because the whole point was he created family so that he could be known. God wants to be known. He wants to be known by you. He wants to be known by his kids. He really wants to be known by you. All right? So Friday night, I'm sitting down, relaxing. I'm trying to prepare this message. And the Blue Jays are winning easily. They're in the bottom of the ninth innings. They've got two outs, so they just need one more out, and they've won the game. So this Minnesota guy comes up. You can tell from his picture, he's a really young guy. He's hit two home runs all year. He's obviously just come in because it's the end of the season. So I said, "Oh, Lord, will you bless this guy? You know he's only young. You know he's only just starting his career." Do you know what he does the very next pitch? He hits a home run. That's God playing with me. Next thing I know, the Twins have a big rally, and I'm pleading with God, saying, "Dad, enough is enough is enough. Stop blessing that." See, that's God. He wants you to be comfortable in his presence. And the message is titled, which I better really get to, but I'm committed to telling you what God's like. And the enormity of the relationship which he has for you. The title is How to Live the Rest of Your Life, Part 2. What I emphasized last time was knowing God is how you need to spend the rest of your life, and God wants you to know him. You have a measure of revelation of who God is, his nature, his character, his word, but God wants you to know him far beyond how you already know him, because it matters to him, because you're his children. Is there anybody here who would like to confess that me talking about those stories of baseball don't fit into your frame of reference for what God's like? Oh, good. That's a relief. But on the same hand, if there are people here like that, you probably wouldn't tell me anyway, at least not in front of everybody. But you see, God wants to be known. It's how he communicates. An extreme is he writes it on the wall. I do not quit. But the other is, out of relationship, you will be conscious of things out of where you live. Baseball's inconsequential, unless you're passionate about the Blue Jays or whoever. For me, it's inconsequential. But relationship with God is of eternal significance. How to spend the rest of your life is in knowing him, and he wants to be known far beyond the measure to which you already know him. The second is knowing who you are. We have lived as sinners long enough. It's safe being a sinner. It's safe having that label. Then not too much is expected of me. But the real thing is, it's the enormity of what Jesus Christ has done to transform us from sinners to saints. The enormity of what God has done in transforming us from sinners to really representing him as his children. The enormity of being changed and being sinners to carrying his nature and his character and doing what he wants. The enormity of being moved from being a sinner to being an ambassador for the living God. Don't live under the label of sinner any longer. We are. Sinners sin, but we repent. We clear that ground, we move on. And if we sin, we go back and we repent. We keep on doing that. We keep short accounts because of the enormity of the relationship which he has for us. That's what he has for you. Spend the rest of your life knowing who God says you are and living there. And then the third thing is, that is where you live, in the joining of the two. Part of talking about 30 years ago is, I can see the fruit and the stories of what God spoke 30 years ago into the lives of this small group of people. It's like 120 people. And the promises he made, and the promises he made, and the promises he made, 30 years down the road, we can see how those promises have been fulfilled with the expectation that there's a lot more fulfillment coming yet. Part of what I've talked to you about 30 years ago is that if you could see yourselves 30 years down the road, you will see the enormity of the faithfulness of God to you and your children and your grandchildren. And that's what God's after. Then it's walking with him and partnering with him all the way through. Amen? Okay. So, to start leading us into the prophetic, and I probably touched on this last time, but I really thought I needed to reinforce, because unless we get the foundations right, we end up by going astray. There is a progression in hearing. Did I talk about this last time? Well, you're about to find out. And if I did, give me a wave and I'll speed through. But John 5:25 says, the dead will hear my voice. The unsaved hear the voice of the Lord. They may not recognize it as such to begin with, How many of you said, God spoke to me in some way before I was saved? May not have recognized it, but he did. And that would be my testimony as well. Only after I got saved did I realize what had been going on. But then John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I did touch on this last time. Simplicity of relationship. That's very much master to sheep. Third thing is, John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. So, we may have been living as the dead, we may have been living as sheep, we may have been living as servants. But God really wants to move the church on. And that's why I've been laying the foundation to say God is moving us on. And it's great being servants. We will continue being servants. But God wants to move us into friendship. I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's Jesus saying to us, you really need to be in the scriptures and read the scriptures. And particularly, how Jesus made his Father known. He said, all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That is Jesus the prophet speaking. Jesus the prophet declares the word of the Lord. Jesus the prophet takes what he hears from his Father and makes it known to us. He declared it. He declared it in word. He declared it in action. And the prophetic is this mixture of thus saith the Lord and action. So what we heard today was the word of the Lord. It came personally. It came personally through Jennifer. What's your name?
Richard.
I sort of saw Richard when he came, and I sort of saw the light of the Lord on him. So I didn't know what was going to come. But they walked out in very practical faith the word of the Lord. They will have great joy with Sam in the future. But they walked out in obedience according to the word of the Lord. What John Wagner said is true. There's so much opposition. There was so much encouragement to give up, naturally speaking. But they were walking out a very practical faith in the nature and character of God and the word of the Lord. And they enter into the blessing of the Lord and a much closer relationship with him through it. And you have your stories, you have your testimonies. But God wants to move you into friendship. It's living as friends of God. He wants you to know him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want you to know him right where you are, wherever you're working. He wants you to know him because he wants to talk to you right where you are. And that message will come over. I'm thrilled how you make room. It's family makes room for one another. But in the sharing, it's revealing God's right here. And this is how we're meeting with God. And there are times when you speak and declare the word of the Lord, which you've heard. But beyond that, so, it's moving us from being beyond servants into friendship. How many of you would say, you know what, I spend most of my life with the perspective that I'm a servant? Quite a few of us. How many of you would say, I have lived my life from the perspective I'm one of God's friends? Not so many by any means. God wants us to go on serving, but it's from the perspective of friendship. Because the servant doesn't know what the master's doing, but friends do. God really wants to make known to us what he's up to. For our sake, for our children's sake, for our grandchildren's sake, that we would know him. That's the heart of what he's doing here. But beyond that, Romans 8:14 says, for all those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. It isn't just we're friends. We're friends who are sons who get the inheritance. That came out this morning. It's children who get the inheritance. And our inheritance is Him. And this way in which you talk about inheritance, we get the perspective, well, that's what we get when we die. Well, the good news is we've already died. Amen. When you were born again, you were born again because you'd already died. We've got the mindset, you have to wait until you get to heaven to enter into the inheritance, but you don't, because He died, we've died. This is where we get to spend part of eternity. Floating on a cloud with a harp isn't part of this part of eternity. For some of you it may be, but it's not for me. But entering into the inheritance is. It's here and now. And it's Him. And all the riches of Him, of knowing Him. Because we're the people on the earth who are going to see the earth transformed. He's coming back for a glorious bride, and He's coming back. And that glorious bride, we're part of. And that's what He's after. He's saying, look, this shift, I'm moving you into ever-increasing friendship. I'm moving you into being led by the Spirit to reveal who you really are. As you're led by the Spirit, God is revealing who you really are, which is one of His children. And it says sons because sons got the inheritance. We all get the inheritance, and it's already underway. And what God would really like is people who would lay hold of Him for the so much more of the inheritance which He wants to release. I keep hearing stories of creative miracles. It's wonderful to tell stories of arms and legs growing and thumbs growing. But I want to see that here. We want it here. I hear all sorts of miracles of people with just about to die being amazingly healed. It's wonderful, but we want it here. God's the same everywhere, but we want it here. We're surrounded by people. How many of you know people who need a creative miracle? How many of us know, keep your hand up, how many of you know other people who just need miracles? How many of you here need miracles? Yes, we do. And it's not being selfish. It's just recognizing. Well, Dad's the same. And it's saying, Lord, we've got to move in to know You and find out how we can see this happen here. It's great to hear stories elsewhere. Celebrate and encourage them. But God wants it here. And then He sends the people out in the power of His Spirit from here. We're surrounded by people who are in desperate need of Him. But where does He begin? He begins with His kids. He begins with you and me. He begins by getting us out of the sinner mentality into the children of God mentality. And when we sin, we quickly put things right because we want this relationship in a fullness and a depth and a reality. Okay. But then the next progression is from 2 Corinthians 5, about verse 20. I didn't write it down. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making His appeal through us. And that's the heart of the prophetic. He wants to appoint all of us as His ambassadors to speak on His behalf with His authority. Wherever you work, He's appointed you. He wants you there as His ambassador, representing Him. Wherever you live, He wants you appointed as His ambassador. He is increasing the authority in the church. We will transition from the sinner's mentality to the son's mentality. Transition from the servants, who we are, to the friends, the sons, the ambassadors mentality. And then saying, okay, Father, you've put me right here, right now, for these people. Now, what do you want done? What do you want prayed? And what do you want spoken? And that's what God has for you where you are. He has that for your family where you are. But he has it for us for Calvary Chapel. And part of coming together on a Sunday morning is to celebrate all that he's been during the week. We celebrate together. We encourage together. And when we listen to these words, God is revealing through different ones what he's up to and his nature and character. And this is what he has for us. This is the joy of the journey we all have together. Amen? So that's the foundation. It's a progression of hearing because it's a progression of relationship. And it's growing in that. And it's God wants to reveal himself to you where you are far more than you've ever believed about yourself. It isn't about an elite few. That isn't where God comes from. He's coming from the perspective, I've always wanted family, and here you are. Amen? So, I feel like if we can get that foundation, then teaching on the prophetic is straightforward. All right? If it's something on the wall, or an inner voice, an audible voice, however God speaks, through the scriptures, through the word, if we're open in relation to him, it's not a problem for God to talk. He's talking all the time. The problem is on this end, the hearing. And then humility is the real key. We walk in it of humility. That's what Jesus modeled. Philippians 2. He did not see equality with God, something to be grasped. But he humbled himself, being formed in the image of man, taken on the form of a servant. So having preached, move on from being servants, if you fully realize who you are, you say, that's how I serve you. Freely, willingly, joyfully, not out of duty, but out of love. And part of this, it's moving us out of the duty mentality into the love mentality. Any of us want to confess, you know what? I've tended to serve God out of duty, being like I ought to, rather than out of love because he loves me and I love him. It's okay, you don't have to put your hand up, but that's part of the transition. He brings us round as servants, but at a much higher level. It's out of this enormity of relationship. Then collectively, when we pray, things happen. So, South Gateway Ladies' Prayer this week, there was the niece of one of the ladies in a coma. She suffers from seizures. She can have seizures for 3 hours at a time. And she was in a coma. And really, they didn't expect her to come out of the coma. So they prayed. And it was good, honest prayer. Then one of the young moms sort of got hold of God. And she started really going for it and saying, this isn't right, this isn't right. And she was laying hold of God, and the rest of the lady said, oh, she's right. So they really laid into the Lord for this girl in a coma. And she's only 17, 18. She's in the final stages of a disease. When the lady, the aunt, got back home, the word was she'd come out of the coma. Not only she'd come out of the coma, she was talking to everybody. She was eating. She was answering questions. She was far beyond any state she'd been in recent months. Certainly recent weeks. Why? Because people got hold of God and said, enough is enough. This isn't right. You know? And I know from stories, that's what you do. You lay hold of God with a tenacity and an intensity and a passion, and let's go for it. But it's out of being God's children, out of being his friends, out of being his ambassadors, saying, on behalf of God, we are addressing this situation and this is going to change. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one, and that's why you're here. You are partnering with God in destroying the works of the evil one, and enough is enough. So, there's a Canadian National Prayer Conference called True North, coming to Winnipeg, October the 13th to the 16th. People are coming from all over because God's told them to come to Manitoba to pray, because Manitoba is so significant in these days for the purposes of God. But they also believe that Canada is at a critical time in its history, that we've got to be laying hold of God for our nation. So pray for the local elections, pray for the provincial elections, pray that whenever there's an election nationally, God puts in place men and women of righteousness. We are in desperate need as a nation of men and women of righteousness. So the ball game may have been inconsequential unless you're really involved in that, but these elections are of great eternal consequence. We've got to get men and women of righteousness in this nation, set in place, and then go on praying for them, because righteousness exalts a nation. And God wants to govern Canada through the church. Don't tell the media that. They get upset when they realize what's going on. But you can change the destiny of Canada. And we have been through prayer, through laying hold of God. But then it's walking it out every day by every day and encouraging one another, saying, look, God's moved in and we're with him. God's talking to us. He's telling us what to pray. He's telling us what to speak. And he's telling us how to love our neighbors. He's telling us how to walk it out. Okay, let me finish in 2 minutes. If you turn to Ephesians 1, I want to show you something which I will really pick up from next time. Because when I come again, I will be talking on the prophetic. But do you feel like you're getting the flavor of the foundation of relationship and really moving on in this relationship, really being who God has revealed we are and living there? That has lots of responsibilities attached to it, but it's wonderful. Ephesians 1, there's a progression. It says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. However that's said in your translation, God wants to release to you and the church the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know him. That's what he's doing. That's what he's up to. Pray as a family, as a church, pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released amongst us all so that we would know him. As that is going on, something happens. And the next verse it says, and I pray that the eyes of your hearts or the eyes of your spirit will be enlightened. Pray that inside we will be enlightened. That comes from knowing him. He lights us up on the inside. So that you may know the glorious hope to which you have been called. And this is our hope. We really are God's children. Here and now on the earth. Called into an amazing relationship. That's our hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's our hope. And it's for now. It isn't for when we die and get to heaven. It's for now. But then he said, and that you may know the riches of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That's what I've been talking about. It's the riches of knowing him now. Not waiting until you've died and gone to heaven. You've died. You've been born again. The riches of your inheritance now. That you live in that. And it's far beyond money. It's him. It's seeing him at work. It's watching him at work. It's listening to him. And the simple joy I had knowing that Dad was working at the ball game, which is inconsequential, but he was really joyful. But knowing Dad is working all over and we have the joy of partnering with him in what he's up to. That's knowing the riches of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That's knowing the riches of our inheritance. And then it talks about the exceedingly great power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, working in us. That is what God's really up to. He's looking for people to whom he can entrust a fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit beyond what we've known. It will be expressed in creative miracles. It will be expressed in all sorts of miracles. It will be expressed. You know, I lived in the exciting days when communism fell and the Berlin Wall came down. And having grown up through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you just said that was impossible. But when you see it happen, you go, whoa, that was God at work. The exceedingly great power God wants to release into his church now, because it need now. We live in a world which is in desperate need of the exceedingly great power of God now. But he isn't going to entrust the fullness of his power to anybody. He's going to entrust it to his ambassadors, to his children, to those who have been led by the Spirit, to those who've devoted themselves to knowing him, to those who've allowed him work and enlighten us on the inside, to those who know the riches of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. He's saying, oh, good. And it's happening. You read the stories. You know, you read the stories of what's going on in Islamic countries. It's amazing. And it's amazing what's going on in North America, and God wants it here. And that's what God's up to. He wants to be known. He wants to be fully known by those who already know him, and he wants to be known by those who don't yet know him, but he wants to use you and me for that. So there's a fullness of relationship, there's a fullness of hearing, and then we can really talk about the prophetic, just what it looks like in practice, what it means for you as a community. It's hearing and receiving, and it's moving in the authority which God has for us. So let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you. Your people here, Lord, are hungry for you. There's a passion for you. There's a desire for you. Lord, from all ages here, and we say, Lord, you have promised here, and you will fulfill every promise you have made here. And we will see it in our own lives. We'll see it in our children. We will see it in our grandchildren. And Lord, we have great excitement and joy and expectation in you, that whatever the past looks like, the future is full of your glory and your presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen.